Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. Last Sunday, we began our Advent sermon series with a story from Luke's Gospel from the first chapter. It was a story about a Jewish couple named Zachariah and Elizabeth and their hope for a child. Today, together, we're going to look at the second of those four stories in Luke's first chapter that lead up to the birth of Christ. In this story, we have the angel Gabriel, who appeared to Zechariah in last week's story. The same angel today appears to Mary and announces to her the birth of Jesus. So I invite you to join me in Luke chapter 1. And I'll be reading beginning in verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of the Lord will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Confused and disturbed. That was Mary's initial response to the angel Gabriel, and who can blame her? There is much in our world that causes us confusion and that disturbs us. And certainly in our own personal lives, in the situations that kind of surround us, we oftentimes find ourselves confused and disturbed. You know, we are in the season of Advent, the season of peace, among other things, as we learned this morning from the lighting of the candle of peace and heard the words spoken and prayed a prayer for peace. And yet, how many of us this morning are really experiencing peace about the world out there, if you will, let alone the world in here? If nothing else, this season of Advent, this Christmas season, this holiday season, is supposed to be about joy and excitement and fun. But many of us are looking at the very long to-do list that now has less than, well, actually 3 weeks exactly until Christmas Day. All the gifts to be bought. And if you can't hand them to people, you have to figure out how to get them shipped to where they need to go. The family gatherings to be planned. The meals to be bought for. The list goes on, and as the days get closer and closer, our confusion and disturbance, if you will, tends to rise. Now, some of us are used to this, and when we get feeling this way a little bit, we kind of have a strict and hard conversation with ourselves, and we say, stop it. Don't get so upset about all this. You know, enjoy the season. Rest, take it easy. And then, of course, the to-do list is still there, and it's hard. But maybe some of us are pretty good at just refusing to get caught up in all of the crazy making of this season because we're looking for that elusive peace. And we may even be, at least to some extent, successful at that. But the question that comes to us today is not, can you kind of overcome some of the confusion and disturbance that comes along with the season just in terms of your own kind of self-conversation? The much deeper and more important question is this. Does the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, and does the coming of Jesus Christ into your life through His Holy Spirit, if by faith you have accepted Him as Lord and Savior, bring you peace? Is there something deeper than just refusing as best you can from being caught up in the mess in which we sometimes live? For Mary, on that morning, when she heard the message of the angel Gabriel, it must have been very, very hard to be at peace. In fact, it's pretty clear she wasn't at peace because the angel immediately says what to her? Fear not, which is something, as you know, the angels often say in the Bible. Because there is something about this message, this really wonderful and beautiful and amazing message, not only about Mary and having found favor with God, but about this child that she's going to give birth to. But there's a lot about that situation, as Luke tells us, that is very confusing and disturbing. And so at the emotional level, Mary certainly is not like, you know, feeling contentment. She doesn't have kind of peaceful emotions. She has a lot of doubt. She has a lot of concern. She has a lot of questions. This is not an easy thing for her emotionally. It is very disturbing. And the world certainly can do that to us, and the circumstances of our lives certainly bring that about. That anxiety, we feel it. The worry, we experience it. And Mary did. At the emotional level. But there was something deeper going on in Mary that we see in the story. There is a deeper level to the reality of who Mary is, where she is able to receive a message that at one level, yes, is very confusing and disturbing. At one level does not create feelings of peace at all. But there is a deeper reality. And that has to do with her view of God. That has to do with the relationship that she believes that she has with the God who is a good God. And if God asks something of me, crazy as it sounds, ridiculous as it looks, and emotionally upsetting as it is, then I will still, at the level of faith, at the level of trust, at the level of believing that God is true to His Word, I will, as she said, I am the Lord's servant. There is something deep within her that responds to God and that puts her trust in God in the midst of a very difficult situation. May everything you have said about me come true. God, may everything that you have said about me come true. And if part of what I'm experiencing in my life right now is producing anxiety and worry at emotional level, at the level of faith, I put my trust in you that you are in charge, that you are a good God, that you're here beside me in this situation, and that you desire me to be at peace. Not that God is critical of us, that the angel is not scolding Mary for not being at peace at the emotional level, for being confused and disturbed. The angel is not berating her for her emotional response, but is reassuring her and calling forth that faith that lives within her to say, there is a depth in you, Mary, that will be able to handle, that will be able to care for this very difficult situation in which you find yourself. To receive a message like this from the angel, that she's going to bear a child. Oh yeah, one day that'll be wonderful. When Joseph and I are married, like all young couples, we would love to have a child, but not now. God, you got the timing all messed up. This is not the time to have a child. I'm just engaged. What will Joseph say? What will his parents think? And my future in-laws, they will all assume that I have been unfaithful to Joseph. This is not good. This is the wrong time. This is going to create all kind of problems and struggles in my life. I am concerned. I'm upset. I'm emotional. And yet, I'm also Mary, daughter of God. And if he asks something of me, as difficult as it's going to be, I am his servant. May it be to me as you have said. When Laura and I were first married, I was still in college. We were 22 years old when we were married, the two of us. And we were not planning on starting a family for quite a while. Certainly finish college, find a job, get settled, do all of those kinds of things. But we'd been married about 6 months and found out that Lori was pregnant. Now, our emotional response to that was, we need an angel to say, do not fear. I mean, there are all kind of issues and concerns and problems. I mean, not just wasn't our plan, but it created a lot of struggle, a lot of difficulty. It was difficult, it was hard, and it was emotionally exacting. But there was also something within us, something deep within us that began to come forth. It took a little while, admittedly, but there was something there that had been part of the truth of the way in which not only we had been brought up in our respective homes, but we ourselves had come to a faith in a God who loves us and cares for us. We believed, actually, what the Bible says. We believed what Paul records, for example, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that very well-known verse, that God causes all things to work together for good. Even an unplanned, unexpected pregnancy. God works all things together for good, for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. And Laura and I believed, as best as we were able, as best as we understood it, that we loved God. And we believed that we had been called according to his purpose, even if we could not always understand that purpose. And if the doctor, I don't know if his name was Gabriel or not, but whoever the doctor's name was, says you're going to have a baby, you know, we kind of had to take his word for it. you're going to have a baby. Not now. A little bit later would be much more convenient. We'd have some money actually in the bank. We'd have a place to live. We were in married student housing, but they're going to kick you out when you graduate. We didn't know what was going to happen next. All of those things came up. But God is working all things together for good. And that is what was with us, and that was that depth of reality that doesn't take away emotional concern, and it certainly didn't answer the question, at least not immediately, where are you going to live and what, you know, and all of those kind of issues. But there was a reassurance there that God is working things for good, for our good. That's not just a general kind of out there good. That's not just Paul and his day and the Roman church, the Roman Christians. It's for us also. And it is that truth, it is that reality that helps give a context to emotional concern and upset. And it is there that we begin to find peace. Not kind of a naive peace that says the problems are just going to disappear or God will just fix it all with this, you know, kind of magical wand, kind of a fairy tale thing. No, that's not what the way God usually, I mean, sometimes certainly things can come together in a very miraculous way. But usually it's a slow and steady working out of God, what He's doing. And that's what happened in our life in that situation. It's happened many times since. And I'm sure you could have examples in your own life as well. But God is working all things together for good. And a week from today, that unplanned, unexpected pregnancy, that son that was born, who we named Ryan, he will turn 41. He's the father of two of our grandchildren. God had a plan. And it was a good plan. It was one that we were very confused and disturbed about us first. But as time told us, as time has constantly told us again and again, and assure in your life, I trust as well, God is good and we can trust in Him. The Apostle Paul knew a lot about how life can make you very anxious and worried at times. If you know much about Paul or have just read his letters in the New Testament, all the things that happened to him, all the times he was in jail, the times that he was pursued, that they were trying to kill him, he had many times in his life that he experienced the emotion, the upset, even within the church, within the Christian community. He would be in arguments with people and theological disagreements and even a very good friend of his disagreed over a mission trip and who to take with him, and they split up. He had all kind of negative things happen in his life. He knew a lot about worry and anxiety, but then writing in his letter to the Philippians, verse again that might be familiar to you in chapter 4 of Philippians, verses 6 and 7, this is what Paul says. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Don't worry about anything. Have you ever shared with someone something you're worried about and ever had them say to you, "Oh, don't worry about it"? Now that was really helpful, wasn't it? I mean, that's what you were looking for. That's what you needed. You walked away and went, "Oh, okay, I won't." That was easy. Of course not. And thankfully, that's not what Paul does. He doesn't just say, "Don't worry about anything, period, and let me move on. I've fixed that one. Let's move on to some other problem." No, he has a solution. And we always need a solution. When you say to a friend, "I'm really worried about something," you want the friend to engage with you. And you want to be able to move beyond that. And so what Paul says is, let me tell you when you worry. He's not just saying, "Don't worry, don't be anxious." But he says, let me tell you what to do when that happens. One, pray. Now what does prayer do here? Well, we probably immediately think, pray, "God, take worry away." I mean, you know, I mean, if it doesn't work with your friend, I don't know that's going to worry about, I mean, is a voice going to come out of heaven? "Don't worry. okay, thank you. I mean, it usually doesn't happen. No, it's not God take worry away from me. It is God in my worry, I need to be with you. In my worry, I need to bring it before you. In my worry, I need to be in that connection with you, because that's what prayer is. It's a time of connecting. It's a time of communicating. It is a time of reminding yourself whose child you are and in whose presence you stand and whose presence is within you, the Holy Spirit of God. Prayer is the time in which you bring those things together. It's almost like a self-reminder. I mean, God knows what's going on. He doesn't need you to instruct Him. But prayer reminds you. And so in the midst of worry, where is your mind going? The snow globe is a great example. It's going to the snowflakes. What prayer is about is have your thoughts go to God. It doesn't mean you ignore the snow. You better not ignore it. You're going to crash the car. Great illustration that Molly had earlier in the sermon. But you need to be prayerfully, Paul is saying, in times of worry and anxiety, because where is your mind going? Where is your heart going? Where are your emotions going? Where are your thoughts going? They're going to the problem, the issue, the concern, the situation. And rightly so at a certain level. But at that deeper, more meaningful and important level that is going to take you through, they need to go to God. And prayer is just kind of that self-reminder. I need to take this to God. And then he also says something that's really great. He says, pray about what? Did you notice? Did you remember? Pray about everything. Oh, this is too small. I mean, God, it's Christmas. God must be busy. He's not going to worry. I mean, this is just such a little thing. You know? I mean, what chocolate chips should I use for my chocolate chip cookies? I mean, God doesn't care. I don't know if you should care either, but I'm not a baker, so I should just, leave that alone. Pray about everything. If the chocolate chip cookies are causing you a worry, pray about it. And it's not good. Paul knows what everything means. He understands everything. There's nothing that's too small. There's nothing that is too inconsequential to bring to God in prayer. God is not in heaven going, that didn't make the top 10 list of your life this year. You know, good luck. Bring me something when you have something really to worry about. No. Pray about everything. That's number one. Number two, pray about everything with thanksgiving. Yeah. That is so key. It's not a prayer of complaint. It's not a prayer of blame. It's not a prayer of, God, I need you to fix this by 3 o'clock this afternoon. It's a prayer of, God, I need you involved in this in my life. And I know you are, but I just need to remind myself of it. And then I'm going to be thankful. Because like Mary, I trust you. In the midst of my confusion and disturbance, you are my God. You're a good God. And I trust you that you will be with me and that you're causing all things to come together for good. I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. But I am grateful that that's the kind of God you are. Confusion and disturbance, boy, that's the life. That's the world we're in. That's the kind of life we live. It happens all the time. But what are we going to do about it? How are we going to deal with it? Ignore it? Probably won't work for very long. Obsess about it? No, that's what we're trying to avoid. How do we get the peace that Christmas talks about? The peace of God represented in the words that were used earlier in the candle lighting, the Prince of Peace. How is Jesus going to be your peace? He's only going to be able to be your peace or my peace when we focus our attention on Him. And we do that in prayer. Not as a kind of organized legalistic thing. It's more prayer in the generic or, if you will, the organic sense. It's just saying, hey, my life is a part of you, God. And right now, my heart and my mind are, you know, and my thoughts, they're off somewhere else because of this thing that's going on. I just need to get them back on you. And while they're on you, then I can rest in you. I can be at peace with you, God, even while you and I, God, are working on whatever the situation is that needs to be worked on. Because there are some answers. There are some realities to being told that you're pregnant as a virgin and you're going to give birth to the Savior of the world. Now, does that happen? Absolutely. Mary was a servant of God. May it be to me. And it was for God, as the angel reminded Mary, using Elizabeth, her relative, as an example. God will always do what he promises. So while we're working with God, while we're engaging with God and in dealing with the issue, we don't allow confusion and disturbance to rule the day. Instead, we say, I can be at peace, even in the midst of the storms of life. I can be steady, even while things are tossing me around. Because God is greater, God is stronger than any of our circumstances. And he wants our minds, he wants our hearts, as Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says from Paul, he wants our hearts and minds guarded in Christ. That is, that we are focused in him. We find our rest in him. We find our peace in him. May that be true of each one of us this Advent season. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the story of Mary. What an amazing woman she was at this point, probably just a teenage girl. And yet, she was able, with the angel's help, to at a time of extreme emotional confusion and disturbance and an instant recognition that this was going to make her life very, very difficult, that this could threaten her impending marriage, that her parents, whose respect and trust she wanted more than anything, just like any child wants from their parents, was potentially in danger. All of those realities were there. But so was the reality of who she was in relationship with you, who she was as a daughter of God, and the faith that she had in God to say, may it be as you have said. And so, Lord, as we deal with our own issues, as we have our own situations in life that cause us confusion and disturbance, may we also, as we have seen here and as we've talked about, may we bring those to you. Yes, we would love to have them solved, and in your time, in your way, you're going to work through them and you're going to help us with them. But even as that is happening, as all the details, so to speak, are being worked out, you want us to be at peace. You don't want that confusion and disturbance to be ruling our hearts and minds. You want our hearts and minds to be in Christ and there to be at rest, there to be at peace, there to say, I know that all will be okay, that all will be well. All kinds of things will be well. For God is true to what he has promised. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.